Welcome to Metro Matters, a public service of the radio people, Jackson. I'm your host, Shannon Steele. Each week on Metro Matters, we connect you with community leaders and experts to address community concerns and issues that are relevant to all of us. And of course, the one issue that's top of mind, it's affecting every aspect of our lives right now, it's COVID-19, the coronavirus. Now, adults are trying to handle their emotions and the impact, but also, you know, for parents, how do they talk to their kids about this and answer questions that some moms and dads can't answer for themselves? Dr. John Damon is the Chief Executive Officer for Canopy Children's Solutions. He joins me today to answer some questions a lot of parents have had about how to address COVID-19 with their children and help them walk through some major life disruptions as we continue social distancing.
Well, you know, the good news is that kids are very resilient, but it is critical that we have really good communication with them about the very real disruptions that they're experiencing. Let me give you maybe just a few thoughts on that. You know, first, you know, we got to be real honest with them to demystify some of the fantasy thinking they may be having. You know, when we don't have enough information, we start connecting dots with our own stories, and kids do that with a lot of fantasy stories. So we got to give them the dots. We got to, because they know something's going on, but keep that conversation at a, you know, age appropriate kind of level. A second thing that's really important, this is hard, is that we, the adults, have to deal with our own anxieties. You know, we all have a tendency to try to master things that we can't get our heads around, whether that's 9/11 or this coronavirus. What we tend to do as adults is keep the TV on, the 24-hour cycle. The problem is, and we saw this with kids with 9/11, is that they walk away thinking there's many, many planes hitting many, many buildings. And that's not exactly accurate. So with corona, if we keep it just on a 24 cycle and kids are seeing more states, more deaths, it's really hard for them to get their head around. So I think we need to be very careful about their exposure. Maybe a third thing is you know, to remember that we got to keep our kids and all of us off of our heels and on our toes, we're not victims of what's happening around us, but we want to teach them to take action, whether it's hand washing or wiping down surfaces or keeping a safe distance, not gathering in groups, that there's actually actions you can take. And I guess maybe one last thing is that to remember, you know, we're all settling into a new normal, and it's important for kids especially to develop new routines. It's a great time to help encourage them to, I've been talking to my kids, you know, get up in the morning, let's do an exercise routine, let's plan times that we're going to get together for lunch, for dinner, some evening routines, alternating games and movies, go for a walk. The more structure we can give a kid right now to help them thrive in this new normal, the better.
Yeah, and we've got a lot of school systems that are instituting distance learning. So, I mean, you've got a lot of parents all of a sudden that are like, hello, I'm a homeschool parent. Never thought this would be happening. So how do you teach your kids that if they've never homeschooled before that, yes, school happens at home and you've got to get into that new routine for education too?
You know, my experience with kids, that because of the, you know, the plasticity of their brain, they're really able to adapt in this information age to new things. We as the parents, probably that's not so easy as a transition, but they will find that new normal, and being online and online learning is not a foreign thing for them. I think it will be important for us to help set that new routine, though. Here's when we get up, here's when we study, here's when we take a break, because at school you have that built-in structure, right? Groups go to lunch, and when you take break, and when you have free period. So we'll have to have some parallel process at home, and also probably set up some zones at our home. Like if we're working from home, this is kind of the office zone. Here's your school zone. Here's your break zone. That sounds weird, but we might need to kind of think about ways to set some boundaries within the house. So that when we're working, if kids are working at school, we know that they're in class, you know, they're doing We don't just bust in and say, hey, you need to clean your room right now when they're, you know, in the middle of, and same thing with us on a conference call at work or what have you.
I homeschooled as a kid. It was a very different time back when truancy officers would come around and see, you know, if you were homeschooling. Different time. It wasn't as acceptable. But one thing I love that my mom did for my brother and I when we made that transition, you know, we were fifth and sixth grade at the time, is she gave us some choices as far as the day was concerned. Like, she said, you know, if you for lunchtime, you know, we would get up, we would put our clothes on, we would be at our desk at 8 o'clock. But also before we began that school year, she told us you can choose the show you want to take the break for when we have lunch. And we chose Bonanza, you know, and every week she would let us, you know, make that decision. Do you think that's good, too, to give kids some decision making power?
I think your mom was brilliant because, you know, what we want. Deep down, all of us, we need structure, and kids really need structure. And we need some degrees of freedom to have some free will to choose things, right? And so to give them the structure, hey, here's the parameters, and then within the parameter, what would you like to do? That gives kids a sense of control that we all need right now when life kind of seems out of control. So I think that's brilliant, to give a range of options so kids feel like they're still in control and getting to make some decisions, even though we, the parent, who are operating as the kid's frontal lobe right now, putting the boundary and structure in place for them.
And there were so many expectations, especially this time of year, too. We've had a lot of our older kids, you know, teenagers, and seniors too, that were so looking forward to prom, and which has been postponed. That's an uncertainty. Even commencement and graduation ceremonies just kind of up in the air for teenagers right now. So how do parents deal with that challenge? Because these are major, you know, for some kids, it's once in a lifetime events that might not be happening with friends as they transition on, you know, especially seniors heading off to college now.
Yeah, we have a junior who I was with when they got the notice from the school that she'd been looking forward to prom, you know, for many years. And, you know, they bought their dresses, they planned the night to have pictures, you know, the whole deal. And it's really tough. And it's hard for all of us to process this. You know, and these, what you're talking about, these are our milestone moments in life, right? And so when you overlay a milestone moment with the fact that teenagers can be, here's a big surprise, can be fairly egocentric, right?
Shocking,
the
doctor.
The world revolves around them, you know, that they just don't have enough frontal lobe development in their brain to always be as empathetic towards another person and perspective take. So we have to take a minute during this shift in a milestone moment. Because they're, you know, and learn more about what's going on. Like, in other words, pause and say, tell me why prom was so important. Tell me why this walking down for graduation was so important. And I started asking my daughter that, and she said, you know, because I want to have this special night with my closest friends. This is a moment I've been waiting for. So I think first you got to really empathize and come alongside the loss and grieve that with them. And then leaning into that, maybe help them say, and sweetie, these close friends that you love so much, what might happen if we were all together and someone were to get sick? I mean, some that we, and you know, yeah, I wouldn't want that to happen. Okay, so we agree that that's a good thing, even though it's terrible and we all hate it, the idea. And then, you know, we kind of say, well, hey, look, this will pass. And when it does, let's find another time that we can still celebrate the milestone moment. It'll be different. It won't be on the same date, but we'll still make it just as special, and let's reschedule that and still experience that milestone moment and celebrate that time in life together.
I mean, at this point, I think all of us are dreaming and looking forward to, and even in our minds, planning on everything we're missing. You know, when we finally get back to some sense of normal, it's going to be one great big old party, I'll tell you that.
You got that right. Absolutely.
You know, and now, and we do know, though, it will be a while. And UMMC has told us that they are preparing for more cases here in Mississippi. As parents, how do you address a diagnosis if a family member or a friend tests positive?
Well, you know, I think one of the really important things, if you've got a child who perhaps has a predisposition toward anxiety, and depression, You need to take a little bit more time to help learn where they are and to hear and listen to them, to help reflect, to empathize. The stories are going to keep coming. The numbers are going to go up. So I think whatever we can do to kind of prime the pump for that right now, to inoculate them, if you will, to the realities of what's going to happen, to educate them that, you know, the numbers can only go up because we haven't been testing, and now we're about to test a lot of people. The reality is a lot of people already have it and don't even know they have it or are going to have very mild symptoms. The reality is kids, thankfully, are maybe the least susceptible to this because y'all are so healthy. The reality is we're going to be very cautious in how we handle it. We're going to take care of each other and our neighbors and our friends. But I think doing everything we can to inoculate them, doing everything we can to actually stay healthy with the things that we all know about washing hands and social distancing and that sort of thing, but also mentally healthy. When we're stressed, we know when we're under high stress with cortisol and all that, that our immune system is more susceptible. So it's really important that we talk about this together. We're all feeling it, but to having the conversation, normalize the conversation, and talk about the fear, and then where we can to gain some control, to do some exercise, to have some trusted people that they can speak to, whether it's virtual or on the phone, what have you, and finding those things that bring us joy in life, whether that's reading or journaling or listening to podcasts, watching favorite movies together. I think all of those things become protective factors for kids because the narrative is going to continue to evolve. And when it does, and when your kid pops in your room and says, there's been 5 more deaths, we need to be able to say, that's right, sweetie, and we talked about this. Remember, this is going to happen, and this is why we're going to stay on our toes and be active. This is why we're going to take care of ourselves and one another, and we're going to be thankful that that you're healthy and keep, as opposed to this every time they hear a new piece of news, it's a total new discovery, like we didn't tell them something, and it's kind of a trust thing, so... I think those are a few things that we can do to help manage the narrative that will continue to unfold.
And there is some distance that wasn't there before, especially with grandparents that, you know, of course, we want to keep them safe. So we are staying away. And of course, with being away from friends, too, a lot of our kids are just so adapted and it's their normal behavior to just text people or, you know, just to whatever social media they're using this given day. Is it good to encourage our kids even more so than ever to discover the phone part of their phone, the actual, you know,
and the actual thing you talk into?
Yeah, the thing that you pay for that you never use, right, on your cell phone plan.
I think that is fantastic. And fortunately, many in the next generation up, grandparents have learned FaceTime with grandkids, and what a wonderful invention that is now. that generation loves an old-timey, handwritten note and a card that says I love you. That can be a very tangible reminder of family that they put up on their nightstand or in their bedroom. Make an art project for them. And I think we all have to. I've been telling my kids and my family and even our staff, hey, the way we stay together right now, the way we stay very intimate and close together right now is by staying apart. And so being apart is an expression and an act of love right now. I care enough about you to make sure I don't get you sick. And I think just putting words on that so that it's not just like we're in isolation. It's a terrible word. We may be physically isolated, but we need to be emotionally and otherwise very intimate right now. In a different kind of way. And I think you see that. I think you see people right now, if you look at the glass half full on this, people are rediscovering what's important in life. They're rediscovering this thing called conversation. They're rediscovering this thing called dinner time and phone, like you mentioned, the talking on the phone as opposed to texting. And I think it is an opportunity to realign our values around what's important with our family, what's important with our community, And you know why I'm called to live a selfless life, to serve other people.
Dr. Damon, as we move through this, I know Canopy Children's Solutions, you're going to have a lot of people, I'm sure, needing you and what you have to offer. So can you tell us just about what services you offer for parents who are going to need even more support through all of this, and the economic impact that could fall on their family as well? I mean, it's a lot to handle, and you know, it's yet to be fully determined.
So thankfully, you heard from the president, the governor, and other leaders that there is an effort underway to rethink how we deliver healthcare services, including telehealth care. And so there is movement now to within the state to have new lines of ways that we can help people remotely. And of course, people are anxious generally and want to come get help, and then they're anxious about coming in to get help. We are working very closely with our state leadership to get all of that aligned and approved so that families have the same opportunities for individual and family counseling through telehealth with licensed professionals that they would coming in to the building. So we are working those angles now and are available to help families through this crisis. And we would love to make sure that either our organization or another one comes alongside them in this time of need. It's such a unique time. This is why we're here. These are the moments that we step up and make sure that we find the next gear and the next innovative way to care for each other, to help kids and families thrive. And so we are certainly here to do that.
Dr. Damon, thank you so much for your leadership, for your compassion, and for you and your whole team. I know that's it changes all of our lives, and it's changed your lives too, and your family as well. So thank you for taking the time to connect and offer some encouragement and some perspective for a lot of parents who are just a little unsure right now.
Oh, thank you, Shannon. Appreciate what you're doing here to get this word out, and this is our moment. As kind of Churchill said, this can be our finest hour. So redefined things, and yet I think we'll rediscover what's important. And this is a great time to do that together and take those moments to reflect. We've slowed our calendars. We've done those things, and I really appreciate you creating the space to kind of have that conversation together. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, and stay well, okay?
You too. Wash those hands.
Exactly. Take care, Dr. Damon.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Dr. John Damon, the Chief Executive Officer of Canopy Children's Solutions. Their website has some wonderful resources for you as far as staying informed around the coronavirus pandemic, and also, of course, continuing to address, unfolding events, life events with your kids around this pandemic. So you can check out mycanopy.org for all those resources and for updates about telehealth availability as well. And check out their Facebook page. Make sure you follow Canopy Children's Solutions on Facebook. They've been offering some great resources there on Facebook for parents as well.